Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, March 2nd, 2020. This morning, I will talk about humility. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Humble Father, loving Son, ever-present Spirit, we praise you for your mercy shown through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Walk with us day by day and grant us a humble spirit that we might enjoy your blessing, forgiveness, and healing. Keep us focused on your mission, not our own. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 6 to 7, we read, "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" The first beatitude, "Honored are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," pairs humility in tension with power. Humility makes room in our lives for God, but pride pushes God out. Gulick writes, "This tension between the kingdom present and the kingdom future, between the fulfillment and consummation of God's promise of salvation for human history, applies not only to history, but to the experience of the individual. Ladd sees the kingdom of God is already here, but not yet fully realized." The uniqueness of the first beatitude arises because the phrase "kingdom of heaven" is a circumlocution for the name of God. In Jewish tradition, the covenantal name of God, Yahweh, is holy and can only be properly used in the context of public worship. In other contexts, other words such as the kingdom of heaven, Lord, or simply the name, are substituted out of respect for the holiness of God's name. With these substitutions, the first beatitude might accordingly be rewritten, "Honored are the humble, for God will come into their lives." Understanding the first beatitude sheds light on another distinctive teaching of Jesus. Jesus and John the Baptist both taught, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is in Matthew 3, verses 2, and Matthew 4, verse 17. But John focused on judgment, while Jesus focused on forgiveness. Because forgiveness leaves space for God's judgment, and humility makes forgiveness easier, both forgiveness and humility work to make room for God in our lives. Humility signals that God is welcome in our lives, as the life of Abraham illustrates. Abraham was clearly hospitable, a kind of humility, and God blesses him. "I will bless those who bless you, and he who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." This is Genesis 12, verse 3. God's blessing is clearly meant to be shared. Abraham is blessed to be a blessing to others. God blesses Abraham with his presence, with sharing his plans for the future, and with offering his provision and protection in spite of Abraham's obvious duplicity. The importance of humility is clearly stated in God's response to King Solomon's prayer, dedicating the first temple in Jerusalem. "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." This is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Here we see that humility is a precondition for God's presence, forgiveness, and healing. Pride, the opposite of humility, may also be an occasion for God to enter our lives, as is revealed in Jesus' response to the disciples' impertinent question in Acts 1, verses 6 to 8, cited above. In his response, Jesus tells the disciples that they cannot usurp God's sovereign authority, and then, like a good teacher, he refocuses their attention on the mission. In his explanation of the mission, Jesus refers to two types of time, translated here as times, that is chronos, and season, which is kairos. Chronos time is measured by a wristwatch or calendar that might be thought of as a season of waiting on the Lord. Kairos time is a moment of divine revelation, a crisis for us when everything changes. When we humble ourselves, we invite God to enter our lives, which can be a time of blessing, forgiveness, or healing. When we do not, God acts sovereignly to accomplish His plans with or without us. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.